Praise the Lord. Since Wednesday evening, in fact, I feel the Lord has been giving me a message for this morning. And I trust that what is from God, you will be able to receive it as from the Lord. Hallelujah. God is still speaking. Do you know that? God is still speaking. And we have his precious word. It is the word of the Lord. I've been reminded of what it says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the will of the Lord, that you, that myself, that we all, those who trust the Lord and believe in his name and the truth of his word, that we will be complete. He wants you to be complete, friends. But what has been striking me, and I sort of mentioned it a little bit last night, the answers in prophecy, it says all scripture is given by inspiration by God. That means from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Includes the bits that you and I don't particularly like. We would change if it was us. But at the end of the day, hey, the word will judge you. The word will judge me. I don't judge the word. You notice it doesn't say all scripture is given by inspiration of God to make us happy. To make us happy. It doesn't say that at all. It is that we will be equipped. It teaches us doctrine. It at times will rebuke us. It will chasten us. It will correct us. But it will feed us if we have faith, so that we will be complete. God's will for you, for me, is that we are complete and that we accept it as the word of God. Because I think we all know that truth is under attack. This is truth. It points to Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. He embodies all that is truth. He was the Word. He is the Word. He was there in the beginning. Hallelujah. He's with us today. He will be there for eternity. He is the truth. I'd rather believe in him than in the father of lies, because that leads to death. Jesus is the truth, but truth is under attack. There's no doubt about it. Truth is the new extremism. And the question for each one of us this morning is, are we dedicated to the truth? Do we love the truth, even when the truth does pull us up short? And we'd rather not listen, or we want to hear something else, which perhaps is more palatable. But if it's the word of God, it is for our good, that we might be corrected, that we might return to the Lamb, return to our shepherd, if you like. I know that, you know, he is the Lamb of God, he is also our shepherd. One day, hallelujah, the Lamb of God exalted on high. But he's also our present shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Hey, I shall not want. He wants us complete. But sometimes the truth, it hurts, doesn't it? And that's why in our relationships with each other, be that in the family, husband, wife, father, son, or in relationships within the church, if we need to say something that may not be too palatable, we try and put ourselves in the other person who's going to receive the news. We're going to seek to put ourselves in their shoes and do as the scripture says, speak the truth, but in love. Because we want the best. We want the best for each other. If we just want to bring sort of condemnation on somebody, I would suggest that we're actually doing the Satan's work for him. Because it's he who condemns. The truth convicts, doesn't it? The truth brings us into freedom. The truth brings us into liberty. The truth may hurt. The truth may need to make changes in our life, in our speech, in our conduct, in our walk. After all, the truth will remind us that if you're a believer, you no longer walk after the flesh. You walk after the Spirit. Hallelujah, that's the truth. The truth will remind you that you have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You no longer belong to yourself, as it were. So you're living for Jesus now. Behold, you are a new creation. Old things have passed. All things have become new. The truth says that you have been redeemed, you have been reconciled to do good works, to serve the Lord and each other. After all, in that great day, when we will stand as believers at the Bema Seat of Christ, when he will judge us, he will not be judging us for our sins, but he will be judging us for our obedience, our service. Do you love the truth? Do you really love the truth? Do you know what you believe? Now, I'm going to read a quote, and it's more than one sentence, from one of the people who has perhaps in the last 6 months influenced me and helped me, I believe, to look at my own life, to look at my own witness, to look at my own testimony, to put some things right. He's brought me time and time and time again back to the Word of God, back to the truth. That man is Dr. Michael Brown. And I'm just going to read something that Dr. Michael Brown has written in the past. Because I want to embrace the truth. I want you to embrace the truth. I want you to embrace the truth about yourself. I want you to embrace the truth about God. At the one of the Connect groups this week, as we're thinking about the one anothering and forbearing with one another, and so on, we read from Romans and how in the opening chapters of Romans it exposes the corruption of man. Yeah, there's no righteous, not one. No one seeks after God on their own. It needs a miracle to take place. Hallelujah. So if you've been born again of the Holy Spirit, that's God's work. It needed faith to believe in the Lord as your Savior, but he has redeemed you from the pit. Praise be to God. And the more you know about yourself, the more you'll appreciate the love, the grace, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But in so many places today, and on the internet, and on So Good Christian TV, we are being told that to come to Jesus, you will be blessed, you'll be happy, you'll be wealthy, you'll be prosperous. Just come and receive him, and you're going to have a good life. And this is what Dr. Michael Brown says, and I'm quoting, "If you've read the book of Acts, you've read how Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. As a zealous Jew, Saul was persecuting fellow Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But then Jesus appeared to Saul. And several years later, the Apostle Paul tells the story, which you can read about in Acts chapter 22. He tells what had happened. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.'" Dr. Michael Brown goes on. What happened next? He says, "Well, let me share the next part of the story, not according to the scriptures, but according to the contemporary gospel version, with Paul narrating for us. So I said to the Lord, 'What do you have for me?' And the Lord said to me, 'I have a wonderful life of health, wealth, and success for you.' So I said to him, 'And what do you require of me?' And the Lord said to me, 'I require nothing of you at all. I just want to take away your guilt and make you happy. Simply believe that I am good. say this little prayer, and I would be honored to have you as part of my family." So I said to him, "That's an incredible deal. I'll take it." Dr. Michael Brown asked, he says, "Is that the gospel?" "No way. But I'm afraid that is what is being proclaimed in many pulpits and over the internet." So Dr. Michael Brown says, let's go back to the word and continue with the real account, again from Acts chapter 22. "And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.'" That's quite different from the contemporary version. "Lord, you require something of me? You have an assignment for me? And it's going to cost me personally to follow you?" See, that doesn't just apply to Paul. It applies to you and it applies to me. Who wants to be an obedient follower of Jesus? We all do, don't we? We do want to please him. We do want to serve him, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and see many come to salvation in these last days. I want to be an effective witness, but I need to embrace the truth. I need to love the Lord Jesus more than anything else. I need to seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, because everything else that I need will be given to me. That's God's promise. Where so much of the preaching today is, seek first your money, seek first blessing. But God says, do it my way and you will know real blessing. You'll know the peace of God and you'll be eternally happy. Friends, every believer does have a specific calling and assignment. But as I mentioned just now, and Michael Brown reminds us, every believer will give an account to God one day. Not for sins, hallelujah. They've been covered, they've been washed by the blood of Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes. I hope you know, do you know your sins have been washed away? Do you know that you have the peace of God in you? If not, on that great and awful day, you'll be looking for some rocks to hide you, to cover you. That's what the word says, and there'll be none to give you shelter. You'll be exposed naked before the God of all, the judge who does nothing wrong, the perfect judge. It'll be too late. But if you have come, and although at times you feel your faith is so feeble and weak and as small as a mustard seed, yet you know you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you do want to love him, you do want to serve him, you do want to give your all for him, and that he doesn't just come part of your life, but he leads you. You are following where he's leading because he's indwelling you. It makes a difference. You will not be judged for the sins. Even though the video may be, as you know, friends, we are going to give an account for the idle words we use. That includes believers. How did we love? How did we serve? This is sobering. There is such a thing, and you read about it in scriptures, about the bema seat of Christ, the judgment of Christ. It's so that today we will be wholehearted, devoted followers of Christ. Whatever challenges may be going on in our life and in your life at this moment, that we will get God's perspective on them. I've only read the opening article in the Sword magazine, which arrived yesterday. I've been promoting Sword for many a long year now. I hope you're all taking it. Please, I encourage you to purchase it. It comes out bi-monthly. It's based on the Word of God. It's inspiring. It's incredible. But the opening article is by the editor, and he talks about Jesus and the names of Jesus and so on and so forth. But he also talks about fear. And he will say something. He says something like this, that some people will say, and these are believers, "Well, I'm always anxious. I can't help it. It's not me. It's just me. I'm fearful." And the writer says, in the opening article, the editor, he says, well, that ain't faith. That's not faith. You're doubting God. The fear is controlling you and not the Lord. You're under the fear rather than above it. All of us get anxious at times. All of us do worry at times. But when Jesus says, look, if I care for the birds, if I care for the creation, if I think, if you're in my hands, you are in my hands. I care for you. Look, the pagans are going after this. They're worrying about what they're going to eat. They're worrying about what they're going to drink. They're worrying about their finances. They're worrying. But that's what the pagans do. You're a believer in me. I care for you. I'm your father. You may go through challenging, troubling times. But have faith in God. He cares. He wants to lead you so that you're not bound by your fears. You're not entrapped by your emotions. But you have faith in the Word of God. Do you believe in the truth? Hallelujah. So we're saved to serve. The devil, he's the father of lies. He will cripple you. He will say, you've always been like that. I'm a fearful person. I'm an anxious person. But what does God say? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed. There's unlimited potential for us who believe in Christ Jesus because God is so full and fulsome. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Do we believe the truth? Do we believe it? Do we know the gospel? Because, you know, many of you said amen when I was quoting Dr. Michael Brown just now and agreed that the contemporary gospel that is proclaimed in unfrayed many pulpits and over the TV and internet, that isn't the true gospel, how I described it. But do you then believe the true gospel? Because the gospel isn't just, come unto me, all you who are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel isn't just seek me and you will find me. The gospel just isn't believe on me and be baptised and you will be saved. Yes, that is the gospel, but it's not the full gospel. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and renounce our sins, repent of our sins, and receive his amazing love and grace and forgiveness. Hallelujah. We had a scripture reading this morning which just described the incredible, generous nature of our God, that he loves, that he loves, that he loves. And he's not willing that any should perish. But that's just the beginning. We're on a journey. Faithfully following him, serving him, because one day we'll have to give an account for the deeds done, how we served, how we've loved. So I just come back to the fact that, hey, we're sinners by nature. Do you know that? Romans 3 verse 23 says this, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes you. It includes me. All is all. We've sinned. All come short of the glory of God. We fail miserably. Do you know what your sins have done? You know what my sins have done? What have they done? Yeah. Well, they separated us from God. They've separated. You and I are separated from God by nature. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. That's the word of God. It's the truth, friends. Either you believe that, or you don't. If you don't, I think you're believing a lie. Do you know what sin will eventually do to you? Yeah, it will destroy. it will destroy you. Romans 6 verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's plain, isn't it? Can't argue with that. You need to know these things. What else does sin do? I tell you, it enslaves you. It's all dressed up in candy and so on. Got a sugar coating. But that sugar coating soon evaporates. And then you need more. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Do you know where sin will keep you out from? Somewhere very, very special. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 10. This is the word of God. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Okay, don't be deceived then. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He's talking to the church in Crawley. Don't be deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Pray God will speak to us this morning. So what can be done? Is there an escape route? Let me remind you what Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood. Hey, the blood's been shed. We read in Gospel of John, the next day, "So I saw Jesus coming. And John said, behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the gospel, friends. It's the truth. It's the truth which will set you free. And if any of us this morning have come a different way, come to a non-biblical Jesus, a Jesus or a God we've made in our own image, we were told, well, if you just pray this prayer and you're saved, but actually something, yeah, we felt happy and we went along with the crowd, we enjoyed the singing and so on, but actually it really hasn't lasted. I'm still the same within. I'm still sinning. I'm still struggling. I'm still fearful. I'm still gossiping. I'm still lusting. And friends, we're all tempted. But if it becomes sin, then are we born again? I'm trying to demonstrate this morning, and I use the words of Dr. Michael Brown deliberately, so no one will be without excuse, that if you have come another way, that even this morning, you will recognize yourself as a sinner. You will cry out to the Lord, "What must I do to be saved?" And I guarantee you, because he loves you, whatever you've done in the past, whatever hypocrisy you may have been involved in, whatever sham you've done, he loves you so much. He wants to change you. He's changed you from the inside out right now. Recognizing you've come short of the glory of God. Recognizing there isn't a way out. It's Jesus, the biblical Jesus. One of the readings that we read earlier, our sister read, was, "He's going to come in the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced. Some will tremble, but others will embrace." Some are watching, some are waiting, but others are still asleep. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Hey, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If God's Spirit is convicting you this morning, you may weep with tears, but I tell you, if you embrace the Lord Jesus and believe what he says in that word, that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, you'll be weeping tears of joy before you go and leave this building. This is the real work of God. Nothing sham, nothing compromised about it. It's the truth, and the truth will set you free. As we've already mentioned, once we become Christian, our lifestyle should change. And yes, we're still sometimes, I know it feels you've gone two steps forward and half a dozen backwards. I know that's at times. And again, we need not to trust in our feelings and our experiences. As important as they can be, we trust in the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. No wonder the psalmist just exhorted the Lord, he said, because he said, I was in the pit, but you reached down. You rescued me, you lifted me up out. Glory to his name. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You no longer live for yourselves. You live for him who died for you. Are you living for Jesus? If you're not, I'm going to tenderly and lovingly suggest, and I quoted this last night. The Apostle Paul, as he was nearing the end of his days, the Apostle Paul who we spoke about earlier in the sermon, he wrote to the Ephesian elders. We read about it in Acts chapter 20. And he said, look, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. I'm clear of man's blood. And friends, I don't know how many days, weeks, months or years I may have. But I know I've got to give an account to the Lord. And I don't want the Lord to say to me, you did not declare the whole counsel of God. Instead of believing the truth, that the word of God is given by the Lord himself, is inspired by him to rebuke, to correct, to teach us good doctrine, and to equip us so that we are complete. I didn't challenge you from the word of God. I allowed you to carry on in your sinful ways, in relationships which were not pleasing to the Lord. I allowed you to remain in your fear and your bondage to sin, to habits which were destroying you. I need to be clear of your blood. And then I know I can face my Maker. We no longer live for ourselves. You live for him who died for you. Finally, friends, again, a loving warning. If you love what we've been talking about and you've embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, you love the truth. He's the best thing that's ever happened to you. You know you've got his eternal love, his Spirit within you, that you have indeed been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you're seeking to put him first, a wholehearted, devoted follower of him, you will be able to discern the force. Do you know what Jesus says in John's Gospel? Hey, my sheep, hear my voice. Are you listening to the voice of Jesus? Are you listening to his voice? If you listen and recognize the voice of Jesus, when the force, when the heresies come, when teachings which do not conform to the truth come, you'll be able to say, that's not of God. You won't be taken in. My sheep, hear my voice. I began by saying truth has become the enemy. False teachers abound. False prophets abound. Demonic powers, principalities dominate the political, economic, entertainment, the school curriculum, and the media. And now, I'm afraid, large sections of the church too, as the Word of God says it would. You know, friends, the devil is the father of lies. And of course, he is seducing so many church leaders with the lust to be rich and famous. The Word of God says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The other man who has influenced me greatly in the last 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, who, of course, is now in paradise waiting for his resurrection body and to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, is Steve Hill. And he said this, the worst liars are those who add to the Word of God with the intention of deceiving innocent hearers. Let me just quote from Proverbs chapter 30 in verse 5 to 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Verse 6 says, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Do you know where liars go, friends? Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable murderers, oh yeah, we know they'll go to hell if they haven't repented, all the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, oh, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, I'm sorry, these are the words of Jesus, they're not Jim's. They will come as wolves dressed as sheep. Do you know, wolves travel in packs. So false prophets and false teachers are known to surround themselves with those of their kind, and they protect one another. But shall I tell you something else? There are some wolves, I'm told, that are afraid of people. They're afraid of men. They're afraid of humans because they might fight and resist them. And I'll tell you something, false prophets and false teachers are afraid of the true man and the true woman of God because they are wielding the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. There's only one road that leads to heaven. It's the narrow highway of holiness. And my calling from the Lord to us all this morning is embrace the full counsel of the Word of God. Embrace the promises, embrace the commandments, the blessings, understand the curses for the disobedient, the truth and the mercy, the grace and the fear of the Lord, and heaven and hell. Do you know, as somebody said, I think it's in this article which I've just quoted from the Sword magazine, and I'm going to misquote, but if you fear God, you've nothing else to fear. If you fear the Lord, you've got nothing else to fear. Let me end with a quote from Steve Hill. He reminds us to keep an eye, our eye, on the sides of the road, because the heresies are raining down. But if you know the truth about yourself, the truth about the Lord Almighty, he will protect you, he will keep you, he will deliver you. Hallelujah. You have nothing to fear. Embrace the truth. Please. Amen. We're going to sing a song which just reiterates the amazing grace, the love, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that he made so that we wouldn't live in sin, that we wouldn't live in unrighteousness, that we wouldn't be liars, that we would be people of the Word, people of truth, people of faith, people of hope. People of joy, people who know where they're going. Hallelujah. He's coming soon. Are you ready? Are you dressed in the white? Are you dressed in the righteousness of Jesus? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you? I hope we can all say yes, yes, yes. If not, please humble yourself before the Lord and see what he will do. He can wipe the slate clean as if you'd never sinned. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you dressed in the righteousness, the robe of righteousness, not your own righteousness, which is filthy rags? It will damn you forever and ever and ever. But if you've got his robe of perfect righteousness, he sees you as a child of God. He's beloved. What have you to fear? I will love you. I will serve you with my whole heart. Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you.